Wow. Amen. You know, when I first received the word for today, and then Daniel started with the Sunday school lesson, I thought, man, God, you are so good. The Sunday school lesson was on serving, and today goes along with that. Today is July 8th, 2012, and our word today, our title for today's message is suffering for doing what is right, is what today's message is about. And as humans, we often think that that things should be logical and fair. Meaning, if I do what's right, good will come to me. And if I do what's wrong, bad things will come to me. Right brings reward and wrong brings consequences. But there's one problem with this. It's not always true. Life doesn't work quite that way, even though we want it to. The word tells us in 1 Peter 2, starting at verse 20, "But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you would follow in his steps." Verse 22 says, "He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. But when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his stripes you have been healed." Amen. We have all had the experience of doing what is right and suffering for it. And we have also done what is wrong without being punished. Usually we can handle the not getting punished part. Amen? Rather easily. But the doing what is right and suffering for it part, that part's more difficult. Most of the time our thinking is consequences belong to wrong actions. We shouldn't receive any type of consequences when we do what's right. When the consequences attach themselves to right action, we struggle with resentment and anger. And it can affect every area of our life. I'm a good person, God. Why are these people being mean to me? I did good. Why aren't they seeing my goodness? Why can't they see my good intentions? Why are they still saying bad things about me? Well, you guys all know that, and I've said this many times, we don't even have to open our mouths to offend people. Amen. Amen. The light of God that shines bright within us will reveal all the darkness that we come in contact with, within ourselves and within others. Many times, all I have to do is walk into a room, because I have had it said to me many times, the light of God shines so bright within me that everyone can see it. I don't have to say anything. And it's not that I pride myself in that, because I know it's by God's hands. I'm grateful for that, because I was a sinner, still am. But I've received so much forgiveness in my life. And I am not the person I once was. If God did it for me, he can do it for anybody. And I know in my heart that God did it, not Brenda. God did it, not Ansel, not Teresa, although they had a powerful impact in my life. My parents didn't do it. God did it. And if he did it for me, he can do it for anybody. I don't condemn. I don't judge. I don't have to. The God within me, the God that's with me always, the Holy Spirit that walks with me, points that finger at other people and allows their eyes to be a little opened. But because of that, people get offended. They turn away. I have to understand that they're not turning away from me. Although they're taking it out on me, it's not me. It's God. Because God dwells within me so strongly. It's not me. I don't take it personal. I say, Lord, please move in their hearts. I pray for them that he may move in their lives as much as he did in mine. It's not me that offends others. It's the Spirit within me, because it shows to them their darkness. What happens, though, when we have so many people that come against us and when we receive consequences for doing what is right, we have to make sure that it doesn't move us to bitterness, that it doesn't move us to anger. It's not always easy. That sin that's within us, that human that's within us, is going to rise up and talk to us. Our mind is going to say, you know, that wasn't quite right, what that person did. Maybe you should say something. No, maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I should just let God handle that. Maybe I should just let God handle them. We have to make sure that it doesn't lead us to resentment, to anger, and to do things wrong that are not godly. The word tells us in 1 Peter 3, verse 17, "For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in a body, but made alive in the spirit." If there was anybody that walked this earth that could have said, "What are you thinking, God? This ain't fair," I'm pretty sure it was Christ. "What do you mean I gotta pay for Danny's sins? I didn't do them. I can't pay for them." "But Aaron was mean to me. Why do I gotta pay for him?" Right? As Christians, we will give, forgive, forget, release our own will, obey God to the maximum, and serve with an attitude of gentleness and humility. That's what we are supposed to do. For us that seek to be obedient to God, that is what we will do. But even after all those things, we will still get the short end of the stick occasionally. Keep this in mind. As difficult as it may be, those things are designed to help us be more accepting. 1 Peter 2:20 gives partial understanding according to our logical and fair standard. 1 Peter 2:20. "But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God." Gives us partial understanding according to our logical thinking. And part of it doesn't. If a person does wrong and suffers, even though he or she patiently endures punishment, nobody cheers. You got what you deserved, right? You did wrong. What do we tell our kids? "You deserved it. Go sit down. Shouldn't have been doing what I told you not to do. You got hurt. Too bad." Right? If a person does wrong and suffers, even though he or she patiently endures the punishment, nobody cheers. They don't go, "Yay, you got hurt! Way to go. Right? You deserved it. But. Yes, it's big. Get this straight. Let's get this straight in our minds. When you do what is right and you suffer for it with grace and patience, God cheers. God cheers. We need to take heart. Many loving, caring, sacrificial Christians have known ill treatment down through the centuries. Check Hebrews 11:35 through 39 when you get time. The consequences of seeking a righteous life is no new phenomenon. Nothing new. One of our major goals should be to prepare ourselves for the inevitable. Bitterness is often bred in the context of disillusionment. Many Christians are eaten up by resentment and bitterness. That develops when one is mistreated after doing what is right. Second Corinthians 4, starting at verse 5, says, "For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light to shine in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God, not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed." Paul lists four common struggles we live with in Corinthians, what I just read. Chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, actually, the last two. Four consequences of serving God: being afflicted, perplexed, persecuted, and struck down. When we are afflicted, we feel under pressure, harassed and oppressed. We often experience predicaments that perplex us and leave us in a state of confusion. Or, put another way, we experience predicaments that leave us without necessary resources, feelings of embarrassment, and leave us in doubt of ourselves. At a loss are the best words to describe perplexed. Persecution is an active, aggressive word conveying everything from being intimidated to being assaulted, actually attacked. That's what persecution is. Afflicted. I left that one out, didn't I? Predicaments. Well, afflicted, we know. That's your body. Right? So that leaves us just with struck down, which is the idea of being thrown down, shoved aside, or cast off. Thrown down, shoved aside, or cast off. That's our struck down. Let's face it. Every once in a while, we're going to get kicked, we're going to get slammed, or we're going to get spiked viciously. Think about that football that's just received, or that just received one heck of a spike from a player that carried it into the end zone. What if that ball had feelings? What did I do to you? It did its job. Didn't act out. Didn't get fumbled. Didn't slip out of the football player's hands. Did its job. And that's the thanks it got. A vicious spike. Slam! To the ground. How many times do you feel like a ball of football? Right? When we receive these spikes, it doesn't mean that God has abandoned us or that we are out of his will. It's all part of the humbling process that God uses to shape our lives. It's part of our growing process. It's part of our sanctification. It's part of being led closer to God and being made righteous. It's part of the process. Romans 8:29 says, For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed in the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. For those who he foreknew, he predestined. Even though we may faithfully and consistently do our job and serve, to help and serve others, and to give, we can expect on occasion to face all of these things. Every single one. Affliction, being perplexed, persecution, and being struck down. I read in 2 Corinthians 4:5-7, For what we preach is not of ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, Let the light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasures in jars of clay. He is the potter. We are the clay. Our clay is our body. To show that this all-surpassing power is from God, not from us. We have received a priceless treasure for a very important reason. For a very important reason. It is so nobody will have a question, any doubt about the source of the power. It must be of God and not of any human origin. The things that happen in your lives, think about it. Could you have orchestrated it? Could you have done things the way they happen? That all-surpassing power is from God, regardless of what you apply it to. Because it's all designed to draw us closer to him. It's designed to teach us, to show us his mighty hand. And he never ceases to remind us that he's in control. That he's still got it. He knows where we are all the time. He knows what we're doing, what we're thinking, what we're saying. All the time. Even though we think we can escape him, we can't. We have to remember that all things in our lives are designed for a purpose, and it is all 100% to bring us closer to God. That's the word for today. I hope that it has touched you and gives you strength. Because we are going to face all these things. The word tells us so. Remember, we don't always get what we deserve or what we think we deserve. Let me say it that way. We don't always get what we think we deserve. But God has a purpose for all these things, that he may be glorified. Amen? That's it. Does anybody have anything to add? Danny,
I know. Unfulfilled expectations can lead to repentance and pathway to hell.
It's paid with intentions. Amen. All righty. Thank you, Danny. If all hearts and minds are clear, then we can stand for dismissal.